Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning with the fourth verse. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. You can buy a Lightning Lane pass at Disney World for an additional $40, or go up above that and get a Premier pass for more than $100 at Disney World, and this will allow you to skip the lines so you don't have to wait in line. Disney World has two, at least, full-time employees on all the time monitoring lines. And the reason is they know how much people hate to wait. And they'll often design the line to make you feel like you're right at the attraction, maybe even getting a little wet from the water coming off of it, even though you could be an hour and a half away from actually getting on the ride. Airline companies, likewise, have had to face similar legislation recently because people hate to wait. Customers want to be reimbursed if they have to wait too long. And I think this is something that's even more exaggerated in our American culture. There's just something that we expect immediacy. We have everything at our fingertips, and we just expect to be served so very quickly. So it's a problem in our culture. We just don't like to wait. Jesus addresses the problem of his church in this world, those who believe in him and trust in him as their Savior, having to wait until the final day when he arrives in his return. And he has clearly promised, as we see in the words before us and elsewhere in Scripture, he has clearly promised that he is coming back. But he also addresses the fact that due to the weakness of our sinful human nature, he knows it's hard for us to wait. And because of our sinful flesh, we might kind of start to grow weary as believers waiting for him and might start to actually kind of forget about all of this. The longer something takes to happen, the more challenging it is to stay ready. And so in a certain sense, you could say that those of us that are living in 2025 have an even harder problem with this than those maybe living back in the early church. Some of them thought Christ was going to be coming back right away very soon. But it's probably something we don't think about a lot. And ironically, that's one of the signs of when it's going to happen, is when we least expect it, right? And so it's something that our Lord would have us certainly pay attention to. But our challenge is that we have been asked by God, rightly so, to be wise stewards of the things in this life, to take care of things in this life, things with our families and our studies and getting educated so we can be employed, gainfully employed, and be good citizens, and all the different things that we have to do, which are very God-pleasing in our earthly lives. But the danger is that we can get so caught up in that, too, that we start to forget about the fact that our Lord is returning at some point. And we can start to live with the world as if we don't really care about that, or it isn't really on our radar. So to help us stay spiritually alert, our Lord Jesus, who loves us, who died for us, who's given us his holy righteousness so we can go to heaven, doesn't want us to lose that. So our Lord Jesus has given his church specific signs that we are to watch for and that we can notice. And every one that you read through in the list that I just have here in Matthew 24, every one of these signs that are listed off by Jesus, you could very easily find them in your news feed just in the last months. One of them that always stands out to me is false Christs, people claiming to be Jesus, as if he has already come back. And every year, around this time in the school year, in the church year, I kind of Google, what are some examples today of false Christs? I found four for us today. These are new ones from last year. A man named Vissarion, who is in Russia. He claims to be the next Jesus. Another man in Brazil named Henry Cristo. A taxi driver in Zambia. So watch out who you ride with. David Shaler, who is a former British spy, worked for the English government. Former British spy claims that he is the new Jesus. Now, it's not hard to find these every year. Just Google them. And it shows how real and relevant and present day the Word of God is and the warnings that Christ gives us. That's just on that issue alone, among the other signs he gives us. And these types of things indicate to us that there is an end that we should expect. Jesus gives us signs that are specific enough that we can notice them, and yet broad and general enough that every generation can see them in their day. And the bottom line is that we would stay ready, and that's ultimately his point. Just like the flood that happened in the days of Noah, it was a cosmic event, but Jesus often would point back to that, as well as others in the New Testament, to remind us as if that's a miniature picture of what's really coming on the final day. And so every time we see some type of indication, even scientifically recognized in our world today, about the flood, seashells found way up on the tops of mountains and things, there's a carcass of a whale on top of a mountain. Every time we see things like that, it should be a reminder to us of how true Jesus' words really are and how true God's word really is. And so with every natural disaster, every major hurricane, every tsunami, every earthquake, every time there's a mass shooting, every time there's a worldwide pandemic, these can all be for us little mini pictures to have us stay alert and to stay ready for our Lord's coming and the fact that there is a judgment day ahead. Martin Luther once said, it's kind of like in this world, it's like we're living in an old house that is creaking in the wind, and you can just feel like it's ready to collapse at any moment. All of humanity, even unbelievers, have a sense that things are not going to last here in this world. So, our loving Savior, our Lord Jesus, who came to die for us and rise again to give us the hope of heaven, that Lord reminds us to stay ready in sincere repentance, to be ready for his return. Jesus doesn't give us these signs to freak us out and to scare us. In fact, it's just the opposite. The day of his return is the day that we get delivered. It's the day when we finally get out of this horrible, death-ridden place that we're living in right now with all of its troubles and get to finally go and live in the beautiful bliss of heaven. Jesus himself, the ascended Christ, is the one who promised you, I will come back and take you to be where I am. So Christians are to be hopeful for this event, and even though it will be a terror to the unbelieving world. When we observe our Lord's signs and see them happening around us, God would have us just use this in our lives as a way to keep our faith in check, to keep our spiritual lives ready for our wonderful Savior's return. Back in 2011, there was a baseball player in the major leagues by the name of Wilson Ramos. He actually played in the Twins organization for a while. And he went home to visit his family in Venezuela, knowing he was a wealthy person in their community. He was nabbed and kidnapped by some drug cartel and brought up into the mountains, taken right out of his mom's home and brought up into a shack in the mountains. And they held him there captive for many days. And the police finally came and found where he was and just brought a huge assault onto that shack and the compound where he was being held. And at that moment, there was a sense of fear among everybody else. But among this Wilson Ramos, he knew it was a sign of his deliverance. He could look at it in a completely different way than all of those around him who had captured him. That's how different the believer can look at Judgment Day. We can kind of feel like this is going to be a terrifying time, but that's for the unbelieving world to look at it that way. Jesus says, when these things begin to happen, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. We can look forward to this day because it's the day he's going to take us out of this world. And even a little child who loves Jesus as their Savior, knows that he paid for their sins and loves his word, even a little child in faith is prepared and ready and armed for the worst things that could happen on that day of judgment. Why should we be afraid? All authority has been given to the one who gives us the promise that he's going to take us finally to our eternal home. So today, use this text as a way for God to call on you and me to be serious about our faith in Christ, to take it seriously, and to also be serious in our minds and hearts about the wonderful home that God has prepared for us. Jesus gives you the promise, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Amen.